Welcome to Heroes of the Hydean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures set in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Currently, our story is Dead in the Water, and it can be found in the Star Wars Age of Rebellion's GM's Kit. This is Act 2, Episode 1, and I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
I am Leslie, also Kith.
I'm Chris, and I play Mandalorian Motu Ordo Commando.
I'm Brent, a much-neglected droid.
Shut up.
See? TV93.
And I'm Christine. I play the group's fearless leader, Nima Ptolemy.
To get everything started, how does Nima look to her duty towards the rebellion?
So Nima's duty, referring to the specific mechanic, is personnel. Because for her, there's nothing more important than the people of that make up the Rebel Alliance. It doesn't matter whether we have blasters or ships or droids or anything of that sort, if we don't have people to carry on the cause. In her specific case, this is reflected as loyalty to her unit. She's only got, you know, 3 soldiers under her command, but she intends to keep them all alive or intact in TV's case, no matter what odds are stacked against us. Even if it means sacrificing the mission.
In last episode, the group found itself in a conference room on the starship Shadow Raptor. Laying on the ground is a protocol droid with its hand bent down at an unnatural angle and the barrel of a blaster sticking out of its arm. The head of the protocol droid is smoking and only half there from a blaster shot from Nima. TV and Kith are laying on the ground and slowly scrambling up to their feet as the group finds themselves looking around at 4 hatches of the conference room that have all slammed shut as the ship has started to twist in space. The first of them leads to the captain ready room and through there to the bridge. The second leads aft towards the escape pods. A third leads amidships to a passageway to the tripolifts and to the tactical action officer's war room, and through the ladder to the bridge. The final hatch leads to a smaller conference room.
Question. In previous notes, I had that deck 5 is the deck that connects to the rear hull, which would get us back to the spinster's loom, and then deck 8 was where the quarters were. Is that still accurate?
That is absolutely accurate.
Real quick, what's our standard operating formation? If we're moving, what's our marching order?
This might be presumptuous, but somehow I could see Matu being in the front. He strikes me as very much the vanguard type. For one thing, he wants to hit people with a sword.
Yeah, that's fine. And then, so I'm thinking Matu, Nima, Kif, TV.
Yeah, that's probably the case. Matu and Nima actually might trade off depending, because if she has her shield, then actually having that in the front is probably a good idea.
Got it.
Come to think of it.
One last question.
Go ahead.
The lights on, or did they go out with the mayhem?
The lights are on.
Like emergency lighting or normal lighting?
It's emergency lighting.
We've got some lighting here. The droid is down. Again, Nima's first priority would be to try to get on the bridge. Before giving out any orders, she would walk over to the door that leads to the captain's ready room and see, does the door have enough power to open, or is it stuck?
One thing before we get into that.
Okay.
I'm actually wanting to run duty at the moment, because, well, 2 characters have acquired duty. Because, yeah, Matu has definitely gotten a combat victory in there, and also TV has gotten some tech procurement. So I was giving them both 5.
Okay.
What does that mean?
I do a D100 roll, and if I get from 1 to 5, Matu's duty pops, and everyone gets an extra wound, and Matu gets 2. And it's the same sort of thing with 6 to 10.
Basically, like, if we follow our duty, then we have a chance to get a bonus.
Yeah, it's like, with Kith, it's to try and blow things up or sabotage the enemy in some way, to cause him some form of heartache in it.
Okay.
And in Nima's case, it is about protecting you guys and other personnel of the Alliance, trying to keep people alive.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely see in all 4 cases, there's going to be ample chance in even just this adventure to hit them. I'm going to roll, and 33, which is one of those aw shucks things.
Well, you know, we only have 10% obligation, or I'm too used to playing. We only have 10% duty so far. That number will... God, that's going to be weird to think about. I want that number to get higher for a change.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially considering this is something that if it actually triggers, like if it was a combat victory, Batu's just sort of sitting high off of the combat victories that have happened.
Yeah.
Or TV's kind of feeling an iota better because there are more droids around. Something like that.
One of them just tried to shoot me.
Or actually, in his case, he might be more depressed, and that's why he just isn't feeling the pain.
Yeah, no, the reason why I was saying that would have been nice is it was a double, and on doubles, everything doubles.
True.
So it would have been plus 4 to 1, and then plus 2 to everyone else, but didn't trigger, so... Aw, shucks. Going back into the active GMing, there's one thing that, in your explorations of the... four doors, which are, the power to them is off. It looks like they're actively being shut down. Like, the lockdown protocol has been engaged. In going through checking, Nima has brushed her hand across the grating for the vent, and has found that there isn't the natural breeze that normally comes through there.
So we have a limited air supply, too. Life support is off. That's not good.
The things that looks like it's working is the holo table, the Walcom, the computer terminal, and the holoprojector are the only things that seem to be currently operational.
Okay. I definitely want to make use of that wall comm, but first I have a question I just want to ask you, Ben, to know kind of where we stand. So Star Wars door logic. Are our blasters keys, or are we running this a little more realistic, less movie logic?
Normally, I would be going with Star Wars door logic. You blast the door and it opens.
Mm-hmm.
Except in specific instances like the doors themselves have been shut down from a control point.
Yeah, because they're locked down as opposed to simply locked.
Exactly. I if gotcha. It was just a locked door, shooting the door has a chance of actually opening it. Because they have been locked down, not so much. That just is going to ensure that they stay locked.
What I think Nima's going to do at this point, having taken stock of the situation, is she's going to first turn to Kith and TV as our gearheads. Find me a way to open up those doors. Because that's what you do when you're an officer, you delegate. And while they're doing that, she's going to see about making use of that wall comm.
As you approach the wall comm, you hear Lieutenant Hastings ask, Is anyone there? There was a bunch of explosions.
This is Lieutenant Ptolemy. Myself and my team are still inside of the conference room. Do we have any idea how bad it is out there?
At the moment, on the internal damage board, we're seeing ion engines, hyperdrive, life support, hatch control, and communications all offline at the moment.
Oh, is that all?
And it gets better, because, as you know, the hatches have been shut, and we can't get them open. The bridge doesn't have the ability to open them at the moment. Many crew are not at their duty stations because their jump seats are not at their duty stations, because they're just beyond a hatch.
Where else besides the bridge could somebody initiate a lockdown like this?
It would most likely be from the engine room. Even the bridge can be bypassed by the engine room.
So we need to find a way to get back there. Quite a few decks up and over.
At this point, Hastings has not released the button from the wall comm on his end. He's just sort of sputtering. That's not good. Oh no. Lieutenant?
Yes?
Apparently the Raptor has dropped out of hyperspace, and it's on a slow, but, well, as you know, we don't really have engines, so we're kind of approaching a black hole right now.
The status keeps getting better and better. Fate really has it out for us this time.
I blame Montu.
Now you're making sense.
Maybe we can be a bit lucky. The ship itself... Our course was taking us pretty close to the Listenol run. Maybe a ship will happen upon us in time.
Yeah, if that happens, it will be most likely an Imperial ship, which isn't going to improve our situation. We need to get the Raptor up and running ASAP. We were attacked by a droid here. Have you heard of any other reports of droids attacking crew members aboard the ship?
As you said, he says, Wait, something's happening. Hastings' voice shakes with anxiety. A hatch opens and unleashes a cacophony of clanks, shouts, and blaster fire, followed by a mechanical voice devoid of any emphasis or emotion. This ship is now property of the Galactic Empire. You are all my prisoners. Take them away. The Wolcom cuts out, replaced by the iron resolve of Captain Sertuli's voice.
This is Captain Sertuli. I'm trapped in a bridge fresher, and they'll discover me at any moment. Our hyperdrive has coordinates to the Rebel fleet. We cannot let that information fall into Imperial hands. Your team is our only hope.
Okay, LT.
Let's talk this through.
Well, right now it sounds like going on the bridge is a bad idea after all. I'm thinking turbo lifts. If droids are attacking all over the ship, we need to get our gear and then we need to get to the engine room.
That wasn't a general call. That was the captain talking to the four of you in the conference room.
Okay, so if we're on the bridge level, is that above or below where the quarters are?
That is below.
Okay.
The captain's continuing, saying,
as much as we want to get the ship back functioning so that we can get to the fleet, we cannot let the Empire get the coordinates for the fleet. And we need to let the fleet know that their position is likely compromised. As much as we want the ship back in operation, we need to ensure that the Rebel fleet is not sitting ducks for the Empire. We've lost communication with our communications room. We need you to get to the communications room and secure it. If there's any chance of it falling back into Empire hands, destroy what's there.
Where's the communication room in relation to us?
It's pretty much on the top of the frigate. Like, you've got the front blade of the frigate, and right at the top where all the antennas are is where the communication blister is.
So go up.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Once communications are dealt with, Captain, what are our orders? We may be able to release a lockdown from the engine room.
The reports that we have the hatches locked down across the entire ship. It's going to take a long time to fight your way through each different section. The responsibility that I have, and I'm now giving onto you, is we need to protect the fleet, and then we need to protect the crew of the Raptor. If you retake the communications node, then it will be very close by that you can get to the internal communication facility and issue an abandoned ship order.
But with most of our people still trapped, how are they going to reach the escape pods?
We can save at least some.
Very well. We'll follow your orders, Captain. May the Force be with us.
If you are able to issue the abandoned ship order and you still have time, make your way to the hangar bays and, on your way out, disable any hyperspace-capable craft, making sure that these droids aren't going to get away with the position of the fleet. Or if the Force truly is with us and you're able to retake the ship, then the Fates truly will be with us.
And it's at that point that you hear a clank and an actual rending of a door. The wall comm goes silent. You know that the comms is going to be at the top of the ship. You know that the forward hangar bay is going to be little ways up.
Either way, we need to go up for the moment, which means we need to get out of this room. So forget about the doors onto the bridge. We need to head towards the turbolift shafts. Kith, TV, do you have a solution for me?
Can I ask a context question for Kith?
Certainly.
Is this a common style of ship, or is this a weird ship?
A relatively common military ship, and the manufacturers of this do put out freighters that are a lot like this. It's a larger ship than most people see. It's sort of like the difference between a freighter nowadays and a freighter of a few, or of ones that can go through the Panama Canal and ones that are giant ocean cruisers. This thing is bigger than most ships that Kith has seen, but Kith has probably seen once or twice a ship like this.
But it's not an unfamiliar design. It's not like completely random or really weird or advanced.
No, it is most certainly not completely random. It does have a lot of the standard design cues on it.
As Kith is thinking, she's trying to figure out about how long they're going to need to worry about life support before, you know, we're all shot to crap just because we can't breathe.
Not all.
All of us flesh bags are shot to crap just because we can't breathe. Thank you for helping, TV. Also, if there's any, for lack of a better explanation, like ventilation shafts, if there's any, you know, shortcuts that are less likely to be, this is a hallway, we will be in it.
There are maintenance hatches that go up, but they're usually in the middle of most rooms. The turbolifts have a central core of two turbolifts that go up and down, and then there's a sort of spinal wall for the front knife, and on the back side of that spinal wall is the tubes that are going up. They're going up in through rooms. They're not enclosed. Like, they also have hatches on them. So it's not quite like the Jeffries tubes of Star Trek. It's just access hatches.
Okay, so it's kind of, you get from one space to another, but you're never actually secluded in any way.
Correct.
Okay. TV, you go first. I'm gonna think.
And if you guys don't have a solution, I'm going to put Mattu on it, and we all know how that turns out.
I have a pry bar.
That's a
start. You
can
work on prying open the door, if you want to start with that.
Give me the pry bar.
Detaches pry bar, Yeah, there's a Velcro sound. Hands the pry bar over.
All right, I'm just do it. I got a billion dice for athletics, so I can do this.
I like that number. That's promising.
It is promising. The one thing that I'm definitely going to go with, Kith, or, well, pretty much all of you are understanding that, like, these are hatches. Every now and then they do slam close, so you want to make sure that there are mechanical latches that you can turn off the hydraulics, but then you still have to, like, shove them. Essentially a two-part process. Getting the small hands in there to release the bypass valve, and then to pry open the doors.
LT, I'm not sure I agree with the captain's assessment of the situation.
You think the ship can still be saved?
All right, well, he bickers with that. I'll fuss with the door.
I think we should try, and I think that ignoring the life support system is going to end us with all of us dead. I don't know how many droids are on this ship, and I don't know how many people we're going to have to fight.
If we turn off the life support, then I can retake the ship.
There will be no point to that, TV. You're missing the issue. If we can reestablish life support, then we can retake the ship.
Sounds selfish to me.
No less selfish than letting all the organics die.
That's what they call a fringe benefit.
And keep in mind that all of our enemies aboard this ship currently are droids. So them having life support off is only going to hurt us.
Oh.
If we can get my armor back, I have vacuum seal attachment that will give me 10 additional minutes of life support, but that's not going to help me retake the entire ship.
And it's not
going to
help out either Kith or myself.
Exactly.
Aren't you the one making fun of Kith for being paranoid for keeping her gear?
Yes, and I can guarantee you I will never, ever, ever leave that armor anywhere else again.
Ominous.
And how? So, Kith, with this discussion going on behind you, I'm going with it's a little bit distracting. So it's going to be a 2 purple, 1 black, or 1 setback check.
Okay, mechanics?
Mechanics check, yes.
2 purple.
If you have anything that removes a setback, by all means.
I think I do under specific circumstances.
Or you have gearhead and under many circumstances?
I was just making sure I wasn't going to cheat. But yes, I can do that. Just the 1 setback?
Yeah, just the 1 setback. I mean,
so just the no setback?
Yeah, just the noise of everyone arguing behind you.
Well, let me tell you about this garage I worked at. They never shut up. I'm kind of familiar with it. So I'll take my 2 ranks and 1 natural finesse against your efforts there. Success! I've futched the door open.
The door itself, like, it's now open about a couple centimeters. So you can jam the edge of the pry bar in, but that's all that it's pried open.
What am I against?
You're just fighting against its natural hydraulics and the dissipating charge and the magnetics. So it's just going to be an average, so 2 purple check.
All right, so I've got a yellow, 2 green, and 2 blue to all athletics against 2 purple. I failed it.
This pry bar is too small. I can't get a grip on it.
I'm not exactly huge.
TV
okay?
Can't smile, but...
Well, can you start carrying around a standard issue pry bar? Because this is ridiculous.
So, because you are trying to wedge open this door, the way I'm sort of figuring to play this is, as you're opening up the door into the area with the turbo lifts, you're rattling this crowbar back and forth, and as you do, a group of protocol droids comes by. As Matu gets the door open, the 5 of them are standing there a little shocked, but no, they're absolutely ready to do what comes naturally to them.
They're going
to
translate for us?
Matu, get out of the way now.
I drop to my knees, drop the pry bar, grab the sword.
I'm guessing we are doing some initiative?
Yeah, let's do initiative.
I'm guessing this is vigilance.
Yes, it will be vigilance for them.
Oh no.
Garbage. 2 advantages.
I'm a little embarrassed for being attacked by protocol droids.
I will be embarrassed if we die by the hands of protocol droids.
I hope they keep their pinkies up while they shoot us.
Well, no, they've gotten they've gone past being limp-wristed. Like, they're holding their arm out, and the hand is just sort of aggressively down. Okay, and I guess they need to roll.
You will roll badly.
You did the hand wave, right?
I did.
Good girl.
Over the mic, not that anybody can see.
I'm just disappointed in them. Let's see them. Come on, 1. Yes!
Well, they did pretty good for 1 and 1 green dot.
Yeah, like, this is a group of 5 of them, and they go after 2 of you. It goes 2 PCs, the NPC group, and 2 PCs.
Can I take the first slot?
You are the boss.
You were just going to command.
I'm going to actually try to help you out some. Nima, basically, when she saw these droids on the other side and Mattu kind of standing there, kind of in addition to him ducking, she's actually going to, I'm assuming I was not engaged with him previously, so move up to him, and she's going to do a second maneuver to bodyguard to kind of help sort of get him out of the way if they start firing.
Okay.
So that will...
Cool.
I suffer a strain and will upgrade the difficulty of all attacks against him by one. And then I'm going to quick draw my holdout blaster and take a shot while I'm at it.
All right. They're armored for protocol droids, but that's about it. Or at least from the ones that you've seen so far. There's nothing really special about them, other than them being armed protocol droids that aren't painted black.
Okay, so that ends up with the set trigger on my holdout blaster. I've got 3 successes and 1 advantage. So that's going to be 8 damage to one of these droids here. And the 1 advantage, I'm going to get back a strain since I just burned a bit trying to get over to Mattu and help him out.
All right, so one of those takes a shot to the left peck, and it's now this sort of smoking hole, but it's there. It's still standing as the lights behind its eyes flicker for a second, and then it takes a half step forward, sort of bracing itself.
I wish I had a real blaster right now.
Does mine count as a real blaster?
Yours does.
It's slightly more real. Okay, so one more person gets to go.
How close are they?
I'm figuring now the 3 of you are essentially clogging that door at essentially engaged with each other, and they're at short range to you.
Yeah, I would say either Leslie or Brent should shoot over me, because otherwise all that effort to protect me is going to be wasted with me immediately leaving to hit him with a sword.
Hey, if that's what Mattu would do, then that's what Mattu would do.
TV is perfectly willing to fire with his blaster carbine. Hope I don't roll a despair and hit someone.
I can tell you really mean that.
Also hits, because knowing you, it's also going to be a successful roll.
So yeah, TV is standing there, kind of looking at people with his expressionless face. And as the door opens and he sees Mattu hit the deck, he reaches on his back and pulls his blaster carbine that you will note he did not leave in the storage area, and cocks it and fires. And the carbine speeds up, starts rotating, and a bunch of bolts go out. And it looks like they might hit something with 1 success and 3 advantages.
All right. So what sort of damage does that do?
It does 9, yeah. And the 3 advantage is enough for a critical. Okay, so it'd be 10 damage.
A couple shots wing past the droids, and then you start tracking line of shots of the blaster carbine over first one droid, the one that's got the smoking crater in its chest, pinging it in the other shoulder, and it goes falling backwards. The line of shots keeps going, hitting one more and just blowing its chest open as bits and pieces go flying from the chest, and the like hips and legs are just still standing there. I'm assuming you're wanting a critical off of the advantage, like you had said, right?
That would do wonderfully.
It being a carbine, it's not exactly a fast firing weapon, but shot, 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 droid goes down, shot, droid pretty much explodes, shot, and another one just gets hit in the left shoulder and goes spinning around as that droid deactivates. And it looks like, from your position, that it would normally hit a door that has been closed. You're expecting it to lean up against a door and slowly slide to its bottom. But what actually happens is, as it goes to hit the door opens and it falls onto its front, leaving 2 droids still standing.
TV glances down at Mattu and says, I missed.
I still have a straining bolt. I'm starting to think about using it.
The 2 droids that are left are looking at the 4 of you. The one word that comes out of the 2 of them, like it's in stereo, is traitor. And they try taking a shot at TV, who I'm assuming is in, like, just sort of shooting around the door frame.
These droids really do not like me.
And you gave them such a warm welcome.
This is entirely your own fault, good sir.
Well, TV's used to people not liking him.
Well, let's see how horrible they hit. Ha ha! They don't. TV's hiding in behind the door jamb, and these droids are shooting at the door. The only thing that they've got going for them is that there's a lot of sparks coming off of this. Because of this, TV's photoreceptors are sort of flash-blinded for the next round, and giving him a setback from that.
The flashing probably looks cool on his face.
Oh, yes.
Strobe light effect.
It's all irrelevant. I'm going to kill them.
And then that brings us back to, in this first round, two PCs left to go. We have Matu and we have Kith.
I think that now that the droid blaster fire is directed at TV and that the numbers are thinned down, now is the time for him to strike. So Matu will use his maneuver to close to engage and just whack him with a sword. So I've got two yellow and a green against two purple for melee. Here we go. Success advantage. So that is 6 damage, but pierce 2. I think how this works is he lunges forward and just thrusts the blade into the torso. It would normally be a lethal strike on an organic, but it's a droid, so it's not going to shut it off. And so with the last flick of his wrist, he slams one droid into the other to give them a black on their next attack. Just sort of rattle them.
Absolutely. Okay, and that brings us to Kith, who is sort of sitting there right next to this door. You've got Nima, who's sort of crouching over where Matu had been. You've got TV on the other side of the door. And you've got Matu now actually up and engaged with these two protocol droids that have been trying to shoot at TV.
What door was it that opened? Where does it lead?
It was one heading back towards the escape pods.
How in the way is Matu right now if I tried to take a shot?
He would be upgrading the roll. So instead of going against one purple, you'd be going against one red.
And don't roll a despair.
I could take it. It's fine. I could take it.
I was going to say that no, you probably couldn't, but then I realized that all of the critical fails are usually in the games against me. Like, I've been killed by... My character's sister killed my character twice. Wait, she didn't kill.
Oh my.
Can I see the turbo lifts, or is there another door between us and there?
No, you can see the rounded fronts of the turbo lifts.
Oh, what the heck. TV's got my back.
It's only a red.
I will try to move in such a way that he's less directly in the line of...
You can't hesitate. It's not like I'm going to be less in the way in the future. You might as well just get used to it.
You're really not, no.
Yeah, like this is sort of as he's going in, pulling out the vibroblade from the droid's chest.
I don't believe in the force, but may it be with me. Ha! Ha!
You were saying?
I might be a convert at some point in this game. One success. 4 advantage.
Awesome. Alright, so what does that get you? So how much damage does your blaster do?
My cute little blaster does 6.
Grand total of 7 damage. And what do you want to do with all of those advantage?
If you crit on a minion group like this, you automatically kill one.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. That's not something that I knew. Learning. I'm probably the newest player here, without a doubt. So, what does... So crit 3 means...
You need 3 advantage to hit, or to critical.
To crit, and that's why I took one out. So there's only the
one
left.
So you're going to do your 7 damage, and then if you choose, you have 4 advantages. You can spend 3 of them to crit, and then you still have 1 left over to do something else with.
Yeah, because this is a minion group. You're attacking the entire group, and a round in this takes roughly a minute, so it's not one shot. You're shooting several times.
Oh.
It isn't like D&D where you've got the 15-second round. With this, it's the speed of plot to up to a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, so since Ben said I was one off of killing one, if your damage will kill one, and if you crit the other, you'll get the last two.
Yeah.
Okay, so, sure. Let's do that. I want full disclosure here, guys. I'm coming off of a decade or more playing D&D, so I'm still very much figuring this whole D&D out.
Well, I have never played D&D, so we're on opposite ends of that spectrum.
What? Oh, sweet. We need to fix that.
Yeah, Chris is a lot newer to this than anybody would think. I was absolutely shocked.
I've only been playing role-playing games for 2 years. Yay!
Oh, you people. So, crit, murder, death, explosions.
Yes, exactly. Kill. So, like, as Matu's reaping on his vibroblade to get it out of the... droid, you shoot over both of his shoulders. One knocks the droid back off of the vibroblade, and the other one has decapitated the other droid. And they both fall into this heap on top of the last one that TV hit.
Was that the last of the droids in the hallway?
Yes, it was. That was all 5.
Matu, get one of those droids up. I want to test a theory.
I pick up the one that's the least destroyed.
Bring it over towards that door. And she just picks a random door on the hallway to see if this will unlock when the droid's body draws near.
This is going to require a... In fact, it's dragging around a body. It's like dragging around a mannequin. It is not as easy as it sounds.
So you want hard athletics?
I'm just sort of feeling that there's a little bit of this adrenaline dump off of it, and the force is somewhat against you, and it's going to be a 1 red, 2 purple check.
Okie dokie. And I think we need this, so I'm just going to upgrade, because what the heck. All right, so I'm at 2 yellow, 1 green, 2 blue, 2 purple, 1 red. Here we go. 3 successes, 3 advantages.
You hold that body.
It takes you a little bit to disentangle it and get it up, but yeah, you're able to... pull the droid up, and as you're sort of shoving it ahead.
Can I do this? Since I've got 3 advantages, I kick off the legs, and then I just kind of pull the arms around my neck like it's Yoda hanging off of Luke Skywalker's back. I just want to like tie it around me and like hold the hands there so I can still walk a bit, but I got this droid basically slept on my back.
I get what you're saying. I'm just going with that this is probably, even with just the sword, this is going to toss you past your encumbrance limit. But no, you can definitely haul this thing around. It's just ungainly as all get out.
Okay.
But does it open up the door?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay.
I mean, if someone were willing to try and do something slightly less ungainly, like TV attempting to hack it...
That's my thought, or at least inspecting it, and let's try to figure out which part of it it needs, because you know what? Carrying around a droid head would be a lot easier than carrying around a whole droid.
I could do it. I could do it. The whole I could carry two.
You're all barbarians.
Yeah, I guess that would be kind of frightening from TV.
TV, they did just try to kill you.
No, that's nothing new.
Kiss will try a quick check over and see if she can figure out where the pass key is. Like, what part we need.
I'm figuring that Kith has been messing around with these droids in general, enough that it should be just a 2 purple check for mechanics.
You might want to look away, TV, but you probably don't care.
TV kind of stands there and watches you proceed, and he kind of looks down a little bit and then mutters, "He called me a traitor."
Aww.
Kith still thinks that he wants his space, so she's not going to make a comment. But she locates it as delicately as possible.
And yeah, with the advantage that you have, absolutely. Yes, you're able to pull out, it looks to be an internal comm link, but in yours and TV's experience, the droids that they've been plugged into without the head are going to start shutting down very quickly. So TV figures that if you guys are wanting to use this as a recurring thing, he's probably going to need to hack the comm or insert it into him and impose his mind upon it.
LT, I hate to bring this up, but...
Put the restraining bolt down.
No, listen to me. If we're going to put this foreign transmission unit into TV, they could attempt to override him. We need a backup plan.
A backup plan if it does override him?
Right. If whoever's controlling these droids also overrides TV while he's in our rear flank, we're dead.
You also think I'm a traitor?
He's trying to avoid having you become a traitor. Hush. So are you saying it just needs a battery, Ben? Or it needs like an actual mind controlling it?
It needs an intelligence running it. TV could do it, but he has to interface with it. Like, I'd actually make it so that TV has a easier role for it than what's listed here.
Could we just flip a light side and say there's like an astromech hovering in the corner going, ooh.
I'm sorry, going like what again?
The problem is that random astromechs on this ship are probably not in your favor. It would be more likely that I'd be spending a dark side point for that.
What about those mousy things?
Mouse droid? That was where my thought went too.
Yeah.
Mouse droid can't hurt us.
They're like just a little lunchbox on wheels, right?
This is something that it needs to be hacked in one form or another. It's like a mouse droid, you'd still be needing to slice it, and it would be less useful than...
But TV wouldn't be putting himself at risk, though.
No, it is a comm, but it's an encrypted comm. So if someone has Codebreaker, that also would apply.
TV does.
So you'll call LT, but I'm making my position known. We should put the restraining bolt on him.
TV, what do you want to do?
TV just stands there expressionless. By all means, let's put the other droid's brain inside of my drain.
It's not the brain. We're just dealing with the communication device here.
Very well. Let us put the other droid's tongue in my brain. TV takes the device and examines it, opens up a panel in the side of his head, and tries to interface with it.
Even doing it this way, it's a bit of a harder check.
As opposed to just hacking it or slicing
it? As opposed to putting it into a computer terminal and then trying to hack it that way. Doing it that way would start off as a 4 purple check. Doing it this way starts off as a 3 purple with a setback, and one of them upgraded, because it is a dangerous thing. And I'm using one of those dark side points.
And I highly recommend using a light side back.
Very well. The force is not with him, but...
If you have anything like Codebreaker.
TV does have Codebreaker, which will remove the setback die. And with that...
That isn't all of Codebreaker, sir.
Additional character decreases the difficulty of a computer and intellect check made to break codes. So he will remove the setback and remove a purple?
Yes. Yes, you will.
TV is really good at this. After he opens up his brain, he examines the chip and starts fiddling with it. He takes out his little droid thumbnail and makes a little etch across one of the lines, and you kind of see part of the chip go dark. And then he pulls it up to his head and takes a few things out of his cranial cavity. You see some wires dangling, and you see some lights go out on his head. And then he opens up a little latch, and you hear an audible click. And then he reaches up and shoves it into his brain. And immediately his whole brain fires up. Lights come back on. The chip comes back on as he rolls 2 success and a triumph.
Nice. Beautiful.
That is impressive, sir. What do you want to do with that triumph, good sir? Because triumphs are a fairly powerful thing. Like, obviously, you now have the ability to just walk through the hatches as if they were normal hatches.
It seems to me that he might have some kind of increased access into the communication network of the Empire or...
At least
something along those lines.
Yeah, right now, the only Imperial group that is in communication with this comlink is the rest of the droids.
So can he hear the movements of the droids and know their current locations?
You are now part of the hive mind.
Oh, don't go Borg on us.
Glad to see my mind wasn't the only one that went there. Yeah, actually I would. Brent, I'm going to rely on you for this to remember, but as I'm setting up, or as you are about to go into a encounter or onto a new level, remind me and I will let you know approximately what the droid layout is.
Excellent. TV just looks over at Matu and says, I have access.
All right. If it's all the same to you, you can walk up in front with me.
Agreed. Kith?
Yo.
You have the most knowledge of ships like this of any of us. I have a couple of questions to decide our next move. With the life support down, how long until it starts affecting people?
I'm just going to go with 8 and just an average mechanics or knowledge warfare check.
Knowledge warfare?
Either or.
Mechanics is probably going to be better for you.
That's totally what I'm doing. I was just... curious. Average is the 2 purple?
Average is a 2 purple.
All right, well, I have some edumacation in the whole mechanics area with 2 yellow and a green going up against 2 purple. I know how much air is available for how long.
And with those 3 threat, probably the answer is not good.
Or it weighs heavily on my mind.
I'm going to go with a combination of... I'm going to give you a strain from it, and then I'm also going to choose one of the answers I could give. So, with that, you are getting a completely accurate answer, but you're sort of focused in on the worst case. And the worst case is the ship itself has about 2 hours of air left, that without it being cycled, people are going to be dying in about 2 hours.
How long until they're unconscious?
Sometime between now and then.
It depends on their lung capacity and oxygen intake.
Okay.
Thanks to TV, you have now sped up your movement around the ship by an immense amount.
Okay. It doesn't sound like life support is probably our most pressing concern, but just to double check. Kith, if we got you down to life support, do you think you could bypass the lockout and get it running again?
I could definitely try, but the problem is it depends on whether or not they overrode the life support from life support. Or if they overrode it from wherever the heck they overrode everything.
Presumably engineering.
Yeah.
Sorry, one sec. Leslie, on the map that we got at the beginning, was one of those escape pods?
Yeah, well, we've got escape pods somewhere to our left. They're not on the map.
Would there be like rebreathers or some sort of emergency apparatus inside the escape pods?
Okay, that'd totally go with the light side point for.
Okay, educate a poor ignorant fool here. A rebreather is what?
Essentially an oxygen mask.
Yeah, Empire Strikes Back, Han Solo goes out to shoot Minox off the ship, and he ends up finding out he's in that worm. It's that goofy-looking bag and tube that he puts on his face.
Okay, so that's internals only. That would only work if you're not outside the ship.
Yeah, well, you don't want to go out in a vacuum without a suit. But that at least would get us air.
But it only gets us air.
Yes, but if everybody else has 2 hours, then life support is not a pressing concern for the moment.
While Kif and Nima are discussing their options for engineering, Matu is just raiding the supply cabinets of the escape pod, just ripping out open all the things, pulling up 3 rebreathers and hands them to the organic crew members.
Kif accepts it with a nod. If we were traveling normally, Ben, how long would it take to get from where we are to the communication?
You still would have to deal with the turbo lifts, but beyond that, it would take like 5 minutes.
Okay, that's using the turbo lift. That's assuming the best case scenario.
Yeah, like taking the turbo lift out, it would be 5 minutes on top of whatever it's going to take you to get the turbo lift running. Even with TVs, comms, it's on a different control circuit.
We don't know how many of these droids are actually against us. Thus far, we've only seen protocol droids. We know there are a bunch of different types. So for all we know, it's just the protocol droids. But I feel like if we run to life support and then run up to comms, we're going to be wasting time because we don't know that they can't just turn it off again.
That's some of my concern, too, is I do worry about the people aboard, but I actually think probably our best move in order to save the most people is to warn the ship, get people into escape pods and off of the ship and away from their control as soon as possible. After that's done, then maybe we'll double back for life support to help out anybody who's still aboard.
Run forward and hopefully look back.
I do think we should try to stop by our quarters and grab our additional gear there. While the doors are no longer a concern, I'd feel a whole lot better if we had some more firepower at our disposal.
As the 4 of you are deciding on your next course of action, 3 of you slipping on the breathers and TV absorbing the different sorts of droid chatter that is going on as he's starting to actually feel the droids out there. That's it for this week. Thank you all for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and you can find me, Ben, at Deuterium Ice.
You can find me on Twitter at 12th Knight. That's 12th and Knight with a K.
You can find TV93, the traitorous droid who no one trusts, at iBrentBrown on Twitter.
And you can hear Kith sighing excessively at TV's melodrama at LessLitGS.
Do you want to hear me talk to myself and a bunch of funny voices? Then you can listen to my show, Silhouette Zero. You can find that at silzero.podbean.com, or you can just follow me on Twitter at SilZeroChris, SilZeroChris.
And you can find all of us at thehydeanway.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydean Way.
Our podcast is on iTunes and Google Play, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydean Way.
Send us a holocom to heroes@thehydeanway.com.